You are too smart a guy to be wasting on the street. But I had to keep faith. And I had some friends also encourage me. A friend of mine who is now a board member, has been a board member since, told me, yes, you are earning good money where you are, but I can bet you that I give you just 3 years, 4 years, you will sit and cry that you let your dream go. If you can sacrifice, you have sacrificed already 1 year, going to 2 years, keep it going. Oh, it's difficult. I know it's hard. I can't do what you are doing. I don't even dream I can do it. But you are doing it already. Keep going. I've told him, this is too hard. It's too hard. I mean, I lost my girlfriend.
I wish to ask about your love life. It's taking me the minute.
Yeah. I lost my girlfriend and everything. So it was really, really tough on me. But one thing also has been, I am somebody who doesn't give up. So the encouragement was part of it, but I also didn't give up.
So, what's your girlfriend? Are you married now?
I'm not married. I'm not married. I'm not engaged to be married, but I'm hoping to be engaged.
Yeah, sort of seeing someone.
Yes.
Oh, that's sad. Where is she?
Well, I don't want to disclose that because I would rather protect her. But she believes it. What I would say is that she's Ghanaian.
She's based here.
She's sold out for what I do. Completely sold out. She would rather have me do this or not do anything else.
Okay,
well. Yes.
So, how old is Seth?
Seth is 6 years in this year.
6 years.
Okay. And I'm not the guy who is shy of my age. I'm just 30.
I'm just 30.
So, young. Daring.
But you look younger than 20. You
look younger than 30.
20 years. No, it's almost 30. Yeah, you look 28.
Okay, yeah.
Well, the thing is, let me tell you.
Yes.
When the teacher told me about you and 20, initially, like, I didn't want to come.
Yeah.
And I thought about it. Me now, been there before, so why not, like, come over?
Yes.
Because I've also been on the streets before.
Oh, really? Tell me about
it. I'm super young. Please, I'm the one who's really new.
Tell me about it.
No.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
No, why not? No, we have a language nobody understands. We can speak in codes.
No. I'll end this podcast. I have to. I don't want to come, but like, you're helping kids who are now in a position who used to be in a position I used to be.
Yes.
So I just want to let you find out more about you and more about this situation to see, like,
yeah,
how best
you can do it. Yeah. And the interesting thing is, you know, last year, I mean, I am a hero of change of anything, over 2000.
Are you in the commercial?
I'm not sure. I've not watched the recent one, but I was part of the 10 heroes of change for last year. So I am part of the reigning, I'm a reigning hero of change for MTN. Thank you. And there's something called Atlas Corps. In the US, they have a year fellowship, Atlas Corps fellowship. So Imani, Paul Franklin is an Atlas Corps. So they select heads of NGO from various countries. And I was selected as a semi-finalist of Atlas Corps.
Wow, that's a major achievement.
Yes, and I was to be in the US for 1 year.
And so?
But I had to turn that down to get focused because when building organization, there is several phases of it. There's where you take it off the ground and you have staff running, and there's where you have a crucial turning point. You know, this facility I'm building right here, it is a social enterprise arm of what we are doing. The parents of the kids need the opportunity to do it for themselves. So for me to leave that, I need to supervise that is established. The parents are in cooperatives, they are making the micro enterprises, so that if I make a move, I know that I have created the impact 360. But to do it 180 and leave, it's going to, when I know it can't fall apart, because the global world is moving where people want you to generate income as an NGO yourself. And this is, so Japan Embassy supported us with a grant for this. So we are building this three-story place where we're going to have three-story. We're going to have a shop in there. We're going to have conference rooms.
But why Jamestown?
Well, because my baseline study was in here, in Jamestown. I did a scientific baseline study. And I saw the need. A lot of people living below the poverty gap. So we started here. Yeah, and it used to be one of the richest places in history.
Yeah.
A very structured place, like the recent East Legon, the camp. I mean, and now it's just gone deep down the drain. So we need to, and this is the heart of Accra.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it will interest you to know that the founder of this country, this was the first constituency that took him to parliament, and then he became prime minister, then he became all of that.
What so, are you born? I was thinking
we could
say because you were born in
Jamestown. No, I was born in Akmalam Junction, around the same area I was raised in New York.
Okay.
No, I'm full blown ever. Like, I'm from both mother and father are from Volta.
So, where are you
from? I'm from Anyako.
Where is it?
Anyako, we are the queen, we speak the queens ever.
We have the
queen
ever.
Yes, like the Angmo language is like the pure ever. Yes.
So
yes,
the pure.
Yes, so we are not Aibe, we are Angmo. Like.
Why there's a difference?
Yes.
It's not the same
language. Aibe mostly come from Togo, like mostly out of the country. But the people who, you know, like Aibe, them will give you the history of the Angmos. And the King Agokoli, and
yeah.
We are the Agokoli people.
Someone I'm really
seeing. Yeah.
So, how many kids do you guys have?
So scholarship recipients say 130. But the center is open after school, all kids in the area. It's a first literate community, so they only get homework, craft lab, everything creativity, beads, drawing, paint, anything creative. Use of computers and then the books. Than a play space. So your home school, this place pulls minimum 100.
So is it just like street children? Or do you have like a blend of
After school?
Disabled?
Yes, we have. I adopted, that's one thing I didn't say, into my work around 2011. To add to my issues, I met a boy in the school who was living in a kiosk by himself from age 4 to 6. He was disabled, he had tuberculosis on his spine. This boy would crawl out of the little kiosk and beg for alms. So when I met him doing my baseline then, I questioned and I realized that the parents think he's been cursed. Because they took him to the hospital, he had eye itches. Doctors started injecting him, and all of a sudden he lost his ability to walk. So they thought he's been cursed. When I went through it, it is tuberculosis of the spine, port disease. And it has scratched his spine, that's what caused him not to lose ability to walk, and even bowel control. So I took this boy in. I am his traditional guardian. As a guardian, we went to Kolebu, we did all the treatment again, we went to focus on this surgery that cost us over $20,000.
What the hell? And how did you raise that?
Through fundraising, putting the word out there, asking people, and Focus then helped as well, because they have a fundraising board, so we spread the message in the US and people were donating to help him. Then, when we had to take the boy back, the parents said, to be frank, they don't think they can give a boy any life. So we have to put him in an orphanage. So that's why he became my son. And he has been my son
since. He's from Walkland.
He's working with crutches. He's still here. He's here in this center.
Did I see him?
I'm sure you can see him. If
I wasn't looking at my kid because I was very tired.
Yes, yes. So, he is...
Yes. Has your name?
I do not think about changing. I think more about giving him a place, giving him the love as a... his father and giving him the ability to be able to go to school.
So what has been your biggest letdown in life?
Letdown?
Like your major disappointment.
For me as an individual or as an adult?
Throughout your life? Till
now. Throughout my life, I think one of the big things, lack of support from people who can. A lot of people in my life could have helped me when I was out on the streets. And even when I started SEF, and even as I do SEF now, a lot of people can help, but they just turn a blind eye to it. We go to church, we talk about every issue, we praise God, but I go back to where I come from.
Speaking of church,
do
you think Christians are supportive of each
other?
Or you better give it to them? Because to me, I would say Muslims really give a lot to that
question. I wouldn't want to throw the dice on one side, but I would say that in my work as well, I've gotten a lot of Muslim support. And I keep getting Muslim support. One of our patrons is a Muslim. Our board chairman is a Muslim. And these people give their time without asking for one thing back. The Christians I have met in my life, yes, they help, but it's more of focus on the church, building the church, than building Christians. We if I say building the church, the structure for the church, the buildings, the focus, making the church sustainable. But building Christians who really believe in the word of God, who really live to it and say, I have two cities and this person I've only eaten and I want to share. Like, who would want to say, I'm a graduate and I want to share my life impact to somebody? I share what I do on Christian platforms. I share it to everybody. But I would say that our religion has not done so much good like anticipated. We need to, as a people, evaluate where we really want to put our resources. Government, yes, government should do. But there's something called civil society, which is what we are doing. The civil society movement that we read about and see in the books, it's not something that happened out of nowhere. People took toll and struggle and fight. They lived in courses and they had no money and they kept going. For us to get independence, civil society, people sacrificed their lives. People were, guns were being fired and people were walking through the land. Live gun bullets. Today, everybody will scatter even if a warning shot is given. If we were asked to stand for Ghana and stand for the children out there on the streets, currently, there's 15% of Ghana's children are in hazardous work. And this is coming from the Ghana Living Service Standard Round 6. 15% of Ghanaian children are doing hazardous work against our constitution. Which groups of civil society are rising up to advocate that this country needs to change? We all see them in the traffic every day, going to work and going home, and even going to church. And what do we do about it? Yes, we have accepted it, and we live with it, and we are quick to blame history and say, oh, maybe Nkrumah should have done this, or maybe Mitchell should have done that, or maybe Adam should have not eaten the apple, or we will not be struggling. But you are seeing the apple every day, and you are eating it. And you are blaming somebody because that's the easiest thing to do. You just look at somebody and say, it is his fault, it is her fault, that's why I'm suffering. But we can all, as civilians, as human beings, rise up and change the country. Civil society, that's what the government is not interested to venture into. So we come together and we say, this has got to stop. And we are going to commit our resources to it and get it stopped. That's what is done all over the world. But civil society movement in Ghana has not really been understood. has not been accepted, and people want to brush it over that it is lazy work. Oh, find some job to do. It's because you are lazy. That's why you are doing civil society. But if I am not doing what I'm doing, there will be 130 kids out there adding to the numbers. Who knows? One of them will become a criminal. Who knows? One of them could become the next Azuma Nelson. But who cares, really? Nobody cares. We are living in a state of nature, and we all point at King the politician. Well, the politician cannot do it, or civil society is there. What are we doing for ourselves? What the politician can't do for us.
That's solid. Okay, so how can people interest in becoming a part of SAVE? How do they get involved? Is there a process?
Yes, there are several ways. One thing is, I just say one life at a time. Take a child, be a godparent to a child. It's just 100 cities, 1,200 in a whole year. We know how much school fees cost. 1,200 cannot cater for the fees of a child, but we put the money into an insurance, a pot here, and we manage here so we can help them to go to school. And we can tell the parents that this is a Ghanaian showing support to you, your family. So we want you to take it and run, build yourself as well, and become better. 5 years program, you empower a child. So 1,200, if you want to do it 5 years, fine. If you want to do it each year, if you want to do it monthly, fine. That's one way. Another way is you become an advocate of our work. There's 15% of Ghana's children involved in hazardous work. This is Ghana Standard Survey Round 6, the latest Ghana Living Standard Survey. You should become an advocate in what you do, because that's a big way. You have the media, you have the platform, you have the listeners and the readers. Let them know that this is wrong. Something has got to be done about it. We talk about Galamsey. Yes, it's good. We may talk about Galamsey. But human beings are being left to waste. We need to see that as an error. If we don't see anything wrong with it, and that is the problem itself. We need to raise awareness. So Casey Moore was here not long ago. Casey Moore from Big Brother Africa, and he pledged to be an advocate. Faith Bepo, a musician, was here before, and she's even performing at our dinner completely for free. She believes in our cause. Aigbeadem has been here before and has pledged to be an advocate of our work. So it is not necessarily just the money. We need the money, yes, because educational cost is real. It hits us in the face. It's expensive. But at the same time, we need people to also send a message to everybody in Ghana. People who have it, the haves should help the have-nots. And we can have... because if you think about it, if we have 15% of our children out there doing all of this, probability of prostitution will go up. Because the hazard always includes prostitution anyway. The scrap collection, the pure water sales, car run over their feet, child trafficking issues happens, child marriage, teenage pregnancies and ascendancy, the population will blow. The country will not be governable for the few who are elite. So we need to make sure we work it out from the grassroots level and we can all rise up. Because if you have a company and in 10 years to come, majority of the people cannot afford what you have in your company, then you will know that what I am talking about is real. It's the people who buy your product.
So before I just pause this thing, what would you tell the illiterate guy or lady, not the illiterate person, let's say someone who's never been in school before, but can read somehow, and then let's say it's on Facebook, it's on your page, reading this, what would you tell that person?
I'll tell them that, see, their life is in their hands, and what I say, I mean by that is, I had a difficult growing up. I could have decided to do anything and make money. I could have decided also to turn a blind eye and just work in my bank and make money. But at the end of it all, before you close your eyes and die, there will be one thing that will be ringing in your mind. What could you use your time in this world for? I want to be noted that I made other lives better. Not on a political platform, not on a church platform, but for my own individual belief in a cause that human treasure, the greatest asset of our race. I believed in that, and I believe that the best religion is